that unseen body. One day we will be able to see it. And I don't think that we're going to get there, and we're not going to joke. I think we're going to be there, and you're talking about weeping. I think some people's going to be weeping. I think we all will probably be weeping, but some are going to be weeping a little hard because they just wouldn't do what the Lord has asked them to do. But tonight, if you will, just for a few moments here tonight, let's turn to the Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading with verse 25 down through 24. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. We'll start reading with verse 24. I think I'm going to start up here with verse 20. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. It says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eyes be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God, and ye cannot serve and mammon." Then the word mammon mean there is riches, your worldly riches. And we know today that people, that's what they're serving. They're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ because they're serving the riches that this world has for them. And some people, I honestly believe that they think that they're going to be able to take what they have down here. They're going to be able to take it and take it home with them. They're going to be able to take it to heaven. But it's not going to heaven with them. It's not going nowhere. It's going to go right back to where they left it at when they take the funeral possession to the funeral home and the casket's laid there. The U-Haul or whatever they want to pack is going to be right there at the home. Now, I've been told by Jimmy Williams, one of the owners of Wren Yates. I've been told, he's told me that he's been up in Westover funeral home, and they would be holding services there. And while they was holding services, the family would be on the front pew and they'd be holding their services, and then they would see a truck and a U-Haul go by the place where they was at. And then they would come to find out it wasn't just any old U-Haul. It wasn't just any old truck. But it some of the family was missing from the funeral. They didn't care anything about the loved ones. All the thing they cared about was the worldly possessions. And that's sad, I tell you, that is really sad. When people will just, at that time, just give up and won't even go to the funeral and be there as a family unit. But you know, there's a whole lot of individuals over that Roman Eagle. There's a whole lot of people that's over there at Riverside and Piney Forest. These nursing homes that don't have nobody. Nobody comes to see them. They got family. But the families won't even come. The families got in their heads and said, well, we've got them in a nursing home. They're not complaining. We don't have to worry about them no more. And I don't need to go see them, because if I go see them, then they're going to want me to do this or want me to take them out or something like that. But there are people over there that don't have nobody. I mean, they have people. Yeah, they got family. They got brothers. They got sisters. They got sons. They got daughters. They got grandchildren and everything else. But none of them comes and visits. Now, that's sad. It really is. Now, I will say this. And I'm ashamed of myself. Because, and I reckon, I don't know what it is, but go to Riverside to see my mother. That's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. My wife and my daughter, they go over there two or three times a week. And I may go once every 2 weeks or once every 3 weeks or something like that. I just can't go and be there and stand to see her there. Because I know she's 90 years old, she'll be 91 in October. But she, as far as looking it, she don't look it. I mean, really, you could say, I mean, if you guessed the age, you'd say she's probably about 70, maybe 75. I mean, because that's her makeup as far as her body. But her mind is going day by day. And that's the hardest thing that I reckon I can adjust to, is that. And I know that I should, but I don't know. I want y'all to pray for me for that I can go over there and I won't have to look at it that way any longer. But it does, it hurts. It just don't hurt me to go, it hurts other people to go and see the mother or see the father or see the sons and the daughters and see family members that's lying there in the nursing home. And you would never think that you'd ever get to the point that you'd see one of your loved ones in a nursing home. But I'll tell you what, though. We need to thank the Lord for the nursing homes that we do have. And I know that some people just don't like them when some people say, well, the nursing home. Well, really, they're not called nursing homes anymore. Roman Eagle is Roman Eagle Rehabilitation Center. Riverside is not Riverside Nursing Home anymore. It's Riverside Rehabilitation.
It's Riverside
Health. Well, Riverside Health and Rehabilitation. The same way with Piney Forest. Piney Forest is Piney Forest Health, I think, and rehabilitation. But it's no nursing home on that at all. And we need to be thankful that they got away from that stigma, because I think that stigma kind of put a a bad taste in people's mouths. Because people think that if you go to a nursing home, and they'll call it a nursing home, but it's not the nursing home. And you are taken care of there. You are really taken care of. Now, I will say one thing. And I won't even go on to say this tonight or anything. And I mean, I hadn't even thought about it. But I'll say one thing. Riverside Health and Rehabilitation. They've been good to my mother. They really have. And she's got a roommate that I don't think God could have planned it any better. Because she tells my wife, and Christy, when they go in over there, that I had to tell her where I think maybe she had placed her hearing aid. Because my mama, she'll take the hearing aids out, and sometimes she takes them out and she don't even know where she puts them. Even her glasses. She just don't know. This little simple stuff is where this dementia in the Alzheimer's, that's where it really starts at, is the little small stuff. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Now, you can ask her what happened back in 1944. And she can tell you. She can. She can tell you exactly when her father passed away. She can tell you exactly the day she got married the first time. She can tell you exactly. Them dates are set in her mind. It's been there for so many years that she can't get away from them. And it's not just her. It's all the other people, all the others too, that has this terrible disease. And it's terrible. And what burns me up, what really burns me up about the cancer, the leukemia, the Alzheimer's, and everything, that the government and the pharmaceutical industry, they know that they can cure every one of them. They can cure them. They've got the medication that can cure an individual with cancer. They got a medication that they can take that will end up taking care of the dementia. But the reason they won't do it is because the government that we have and the pharmaceutical companies that makes these drugs, they in cahoots together. And I'll tell you something else too. But the doctors are getting fed up with it. The doctors are really getting fed up with it. They really are. How many times have you turned the TV on lately? And they'll come up with a commercial, and there'll be a lawyer there, and being said, if you take this, if you have ever taken this type of medication, and if it's damaged you, if it's damaged your health in one way or another, in a certain way, then they got a lawsuit. That they can sue the pharmaceutical company. Because, well, I'll tell you something. I'll go to bat for anybody. But I will say one thing. Anybody. And I'm going to say it because I don't. And I was on a
Oh, right at 20 years, but probably a little more than that. There's no doctor in his city down has ever told me that that pill that I was taking, that it did not produce sugar within my body. And that's the metformin. That right there is a medication that the doctors has got a hold to, and now the doctors are telling everybody, do not take it. And I tried to tell my wife and my daughter, I said for years, I said, I told you so. I said, I told you so. I told you these pills were gonna kill me. I said, I'm gonna tell you. The pills is gonna take me before the Lord takes me. I tell you what, and all that. And I got off of, I mean, and I tell you something, I thank God for Dr. Guy. I really do. I don't know if you've ever had him or ever had to go see him. But he's a cancer doctor and he's a blood doctor. He's not in Danville no more, he's in Maryland. But if it had not been for him, I would probably be laying in bed somewhere in a nursing home. Or I'd be half dead. Because he's the one that found my problem in my condition with my liver and my kidney. Now I know that my liver is not changed that much. But as far as my kidney, it's in the fourth stage. And it's in the fourth stage of kidney failure. You want me to tell you what caused that? Metformin caused that. The doctor that prescribed me with that. But yet the pharmaceutical company. I don't know why I got off on that. That's not even. But I'm going to tell you. I rang because the people up here in Washington, D.C. is still lying to us. I don't know if y'all heard what the vice president said yesterday. It's been all over the news. But the vice president, Mike Pence, he said this, and because of the health care that the Congress and the Senate, they couldn't get together and pass what they wanted, to where they could go in and really try to, you know, work on it each and every day or something like that. They didn't pass it. This is what Mike Pence said. And I agree with him 100%. He says, since they didn't pass it, what Donald Trump needs to do, he needs to write an executive order for Congress and the Senate to have Obamacare. Because they don't have Obamacare now. They got this, the best insurance that they got. And it's provided by the government. But he says, they need to get down to where the people are. They said that they are fighting for the people, that they need to get down at where that they are really fighting for the people, because they've got down at where they are. That's what Mike Pence, the vice president, said. Now, I'm sure he's discussed it and he's talked about it and he's talked to the president, Donald Trump, about it. And I do not believe that this week will not go past without Donald Trump saying something about it. And I agree with you. They need to go to the Obamacare. And he also brought up one other thing that I love. He said we need to put them on Obamacare, the Senate and the Congress, to where they got the same
type of insurance that you got. And we need to pass term limits. What is term limits? Well, they can't go up and serve 2 consecutive times is all they can serve. After that, they have to come home. I remember in times past, I remember when Nixon was president. And I know he'd done some things wrong. But I'll tell you one thing, but he was a president. If he said it, he done it. And he done some things wrong, I know that. John F. Kennedy did too. He done some things that was right. I reckon he's the last Democrat that we have had up there that really was sought out the people's needs. But where the Democrats fail was when they put Lyndon B. Johnson as a president when Kennedy was assassinated. And I don't know why I'm getting off on this. I really don't. I mean, ain't nothing I plan to or anything like that. But the Lord is just, the Lord's just leading me to it. But we need to think hard. We need to really think hard. And what we believe in and whom we believe in. Did you know that I know Democrats? And they're fine people. They really are. They're fine people. They'll do anything they can to help you. They're Christians, saved, and they don't mind bragging on the Lord. But I would say one thing. If they was as loyal to God as they are to their Democratic Party, the United States wouldn't be in any shape it's in. But we're in any shape where we will allow all them things to come to pass. And you know, you know me. You know me. If the Lord gives me a thought, I'm going to go with it. But what? 99.9 of all the pastors I hear that's pastoring these churches, none of them will tell you how the government of the United States come about. They can't tell you. You know why? Because they think, well, if I mention anything about the government, if I mention anything about how sorry they are, or if I mention his name, if I mention the president's name, and you say, hey, he's a sorry president, I haven't, you know. They say, they're gonna come in and they're gonna take something away from me. Separation between church and state. Yes, there is a separation between church and state. Yes, there is. I realize that. Church is number one. The church comes before the government. This is where the worldly riches come from. That's what he's talking about right here. Where people is wanting all of this. All the riches. What have they got? When it comes right down to the end,
when it's their time to go, if they gonna, when they die, if they go to heaven or if they go to hell, does it make no difference when they go? The only thing they're going to take is their body. They're going to take their body if they go to hell. But if they go to heaven, the Spirit of God is going to leave our body. We'll go there until He calls the church home. And when He calls the whole church home, that's when the body is going to be going through the sky on that plane, on that jet, on that rocket, whatever you want to call it. Yes, when that body leaves this earth, when it just kind of hovers around the ground right here. Oh yes, it's corrupt. It's corrupt. Sin. But when we lift off, that's when the transformation is going to take effect. That's when the transformation in our lives, in our bodies, is going to be unto and like the Son of God.
Did you realize that I'm not going to know my wife? I'm not going to know Shelby as being my wife there in heaven. I'm not going to know my daughter, Christy, as being my daughter in heaven. Why? Because we all have the same father there in heaven. We all have the same brother there in heaven, which is Jesus Christ. We all have something there that can help us as individuals that we can grow, and we're going to still grow there. We're not going to quit growing. Some people say, we're going to quit. One of these days, I'm just quit growing. I'm going to quit maturing. No, you ain't. We're going to be always growing. Always growing in the body of Christ. And verse 28 says, and why take ye thoughts for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Neither do they spin, neither do they toil, not or spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Of all of Solomon's wisdom, everything that Solomon had, everything that God had given Solomon, cannot make up to what we're going to be like. Verse 30 says, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the fields, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, as ye of little faith? This is Jesus speaking. You know, what he's saying is, ain't he going to clothe me? Ain't he going to protect me like he does the lily of the field? Like he does everything that he's created that our eyes can look upon? Of all of his wisdom, that wisdom that Solomon had, and with what God has allowed his son Jesus Christ to do with us, to save us, and so the Father would be able to write our name down there in heaven. we have more wisdom than what we realize. We have more to be thankful for than what we realize. We have more, much more than we realize. We don't have to have, I don't have to have a wallet with $300 or $400 or $500 in it. I don't have to be driving a brand new automobile. I don't have to live in a great big mansion. I don't have to do all of that. I don't have to live like that. I don't need that type of lifestyle. The lifestyle that I need and the lifestyle that you need, the lifestyle that all the Christian needs, is the lifestyle of being a child of God. Why do I want to worry about all the wealth? When I know the man, and I talk to him every day, and he talks back to me every day, and I know the individual that owns all the cattle, that's on all the hilltops in this world. And the father told him to tell me, says, "Donnie, one of these days it's going to be yours. You're going to inherit it." So what I need, some kind of inheritance down here? I don't need no inheritance down here. Because the thing about it, if I have any kind of inheritance down here, material-wise, money-wise, don't make no difference. I would likely put some of that before God. Why? Because see, that's what the flesh wants. That's what the flesh alone wants. That's not what the Spirit of God wants, but that's what the flesh wants. And God says we're always in a battle. We're always in a battle. Because the Spirit of God is always fighting against the flesh. And the flesh is always fighting against the Spirit of God. But you know who's on the winning side, don't you? You know who's on the winning side, don't you? Amen. God Almighty, He's on the winning side. He's only went inside, and I've read the last of the book. I've read the last chapter in the book. And it's going to be a... You're talking about a homecoming. You're talking about a reunion. It's going to be one. And verse 31 says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things." My Father, He knows exactly what I need. But He knows also what I want to, but He's not going to give me what I want. He's going to give me what I need. What do I need? I need a roof over my head. What I need? I need clothes on my back. What do I need? I need a place to sit down and to feed my body. See, that's what God has promised. So why would I want anything else? I don't. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to seek God's righteousness. We don't need to seek the devil's righteousness, because that's what the devil wants us to believe in. The devil wants us to believe in the flesh. And you got some people out here that believes the flesh is saved. This flesh is not saved. This flesh is just as corrupt as it was from the very beginning. And I know this man. Matter of fact, he'll live probably within maybe a mile and a half of here from the church. He come to church one time there at temple. Brother Roy was preaching. And this man got fretted with Brother Roy. And him and Brother Roy, they always said it up at Hardy's. They always drank a cup of coffee together. But because of what Brother Roy believed in the Word of God, and he preached it like the Word of God says, this man, this individual, had hard feelings towards Brother Roy. Now, I personally know Brother Roy. And you do too, you know him. I do not think that it's a bone in his body that he would ever try to lead someone astray. But this individual, one day at Hardy's, Brother Roy went over out to sat down with him after he come in and got him some coffee. And this individual, he just got up like he was getting ready to leave. But then, as he got up and as he went and took his tray and everything to the trash bin and emptied the tray, you got to talk to somebody else. And the next thing he knew, Brother Roy was telling me, he says, an hour later, when I left, he was still there talking to the other individual. But he won't talk to me. And he says, and I know why. He just didn't like what I preached on. And I wasn't preaching it just because I know he was there and I knew what he believed. But Brother Roy just told the whole church. He said, the flesh that is on these bones is corrupt. They're so corrupt that they smell, that they deteriorate, because you can see it on an individual. Where the individual soul never gets any older, but the outside body of the individual does. And it withers and goes away and stuff like that. But he said, Brother Roy said this. He said, you have the Spirit of God lives within you. And the Spirit of God is always fighting against the devil. Other words, he said, the Spirit of God is always fighting against the flesh. And the flesh is always fighting against the Spirit. He said, because the flesh is not saved. The only thing that's saved is the inside man, the Spirit of God that lives within man. And he got upset with Brother Roy about it. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm going to, you know how I am. And you know that
I make mistakes. Sometimes I will say something and really it's not nothing there, but just what I said. But I said it, and after I say it, I wonder. I said, is that right? And I said, you know, something's wrong with that.
Hey, I'm human.
I'm human, I still have a flesh. I'm human. Brother Bill's human. Brother Bill has still got the flesh. We all still have the flesh. And Brother Bill, he can tell you. He said, I know I got the flesh because they just cut it open and it hurt. But we don't need to yield to it. We don't need to yield to the flesh. We need to yield to God and allow God to do His work within us. And a whole lot of times we'll put it off. We said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I can't go through this. I mean, I done been through it. I done been through it. And I don't know how many times I ain't been through it. I can't do it no more. I just can't go through it. Are we any better than Jesus Christ? Are we better than Him? Are we better than Paul? Are we better than Abraham? Are we better than Isaac? Are we better than them? No. We sure ain't no better than Jesus is. Because it's not a pain. It's not nothing that we ever have been through. And there's nothing that we're going to ever go through that Jesus has not taken the pain for. Can you imagine on the cross that day, after he had been beaten, and after his back had been scourged, and the blood just running down to the foot of the cross, and then it was like a stream. See, he didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve any of that. But he done it. Why? Because he wanted to take my pain and he wanted to take your pain. He done it for each one of us. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Tonight, thank you, Father, for what you've given us, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we will take it to heed some things that were said. And Lord, it's some things that I know that I've said that you put on my heart. And I said it, Lord, that I need it also. And I still thank you for that. That yes, I need a touch from the Master's hand tonight. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're going to touch. You're going to do what needs to be done here. Within the walls of this sanctuary, to where we can come in and worship you and feel your presence and be able to feel your love, and knowing that everything that's going to be okay as long as we trust you. But when we get away from trusting you and we start trying to do things on our own, then that's really when we get hurt. That's when we really backslide. So, Father, help us. Father, that your word would draw us closer to you. Father, I don't know if there's anything that was said today, this morning or tonight,
that will draw anybody closer to you. But Father, maybe it was something here the other week. Or maybe something back in a Jubilee, that something that would say that it just touched a chord with them. And they can go back and they can remember what somebody else has preached. And Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll do what needs to be done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. All righty. Well.